Our scripture tonight is from Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 12 through 15. Romans 10, 12 through 15. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him in whom they've never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news.
Good evening. Good to see each of you here this evening, and hope you have had a good day. Got some rain. That was a good thing. Maybe not enough, but we got rain. But we're glad you're with us this evening and hope that the week ahead is going to be a very good week for each of us. If you're visiting with us, really glad you've come our way and hope we get a chance to get acquainted. Stick around if you can and let us get to know you. And if we can help in any way, please let us know. Just got through with a meeting, our final planning meeting for the Men's Day. As you may know, the Mountain Empire Men's Fellowship is going to be 2 weeks from yesterday, the first Saturday in August. And men, we really want you to be here for that. It's going to be great. We have 9 different speakers. They're all chosen because of their ability. They are all excellent speakers. They're all men of the Word. And we've got 3 song leaders that are going to be leading singing here and there, and it's just going to be great. And you may be thinking, 9 speakers? Oh, it's fast-paced. We don't let them drone on like the preacher normally does here. They are kept on schedule, so it goes quickly. But I really want you to be here, guys. I know you do a lot of things on the weekend for yourself, and that's okay. But how about doing something for the Lord on this Saturday that will give him an opportunity to spark you, to give you a boost? And I just really would like to see every man here present on August the 5th. It's going to be a great day. And by the way, the day after that, on Sunday following, we're going to have a guest speaker that morning. One of our speakers on the Men's Day will be speaking at Sunday school as well as during the worship hour, John DeBerry. John has spoken here before. It's been 6 or 8 years ago. He is from Memphis. He is a preacher of the gospel. He's also been in the Tennessee State Legislature for quite a long time. And he is a man who is dedicated to the Lord. He loves the Lord. And you're going to be stirred to hear him. So ladies, you're not going to totally miss out. You get to hear John DeBerry. But it's going to be a great weekend, and I really hope that you'll be here for it. If you haven't already talked to Steve Williams about what you can do to help, where's Steve? Well, he's around here somewhere. He'll be out in the back, I know, when we're finished. And he'd like to get your name on the dotted line, helping here or there. Now, let's get our Bibles out. I hope you've got yours with you and that you'll follow along as we go through this lesson. And there are some good things to learn, as there always are, from the Bible. The name Pheidippides does not come from the Bible. Maybe you've heard of Pheidippides. Pheidippides is that man that supposedly ran 25 miles, 25 plus. I know there's a different distance involved in what we do today. But he's the one that ran that distance in long ago to announce to the people of Athens, Greece, that the Greeks have defeated the Persians at the Battle of Marathon. And that's where that race gets its name, is the course that Pheidippides ran. Now, he was not doing it in order to win a trophy or to wear a medal around his neck. In fact, the scant evidence that we have says that when he arrived in Athens and gave his message, he died. he exerted himself. And it wasn't just that distance he had run. The day before, he ran a much greater distance. And so all told, it was about 150 miles, I think, that he ran. But when he delivered that message, he died. That's at least the way the record says. But I want you to think for a minute. If you are one of the Athenians and you've been in suspense, you've been anxious to hear how did the battle go, because there was a lot at stake in this particular battle. And now you hear the news, what is your reaction? Well, think about what we saw when the end of World War II was announced. You know, the photos that have become iconic, the newsreels that we have seen, how people were throwing their hats up in the air and sailors grabbing any woman nearby and giving them a kiss. It was great news. And that's the idea. Well, Paul kind of gets to that idea in Romans chapter 10 and verse 15. Romans chapter 10 and verse 15 that was just read to us, here's what it says. How are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. And that last part, of course, is what we're focused on in this lesson, the idea of beautiful feet. What does that mean? We don't normally think of feet as beautiful. In fact, if you look at the human body, that's probably one part of the body that we would not say is a good-looking feature. But everybody's different, of course. That may be something you would say, but most, I think, do not. What does it mean? What was Paul getting at? And I think by understanding what Paul was saying, it will help motivate us to do what he's talking about in that passage. Let's look at it. First of all, I think we ought to look at the Old Testament background. Because again, look at verses 14 and 15. Romans 10, 14 and 15. And let's look at it again. How then will they call on him? Talking about Jesus. He'd been talking about salvation, how it is available now. But how will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him in whom of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? And all of that is simply a way of saying we need to support the preaching of the gospel. We need to be engaged in the preaching of the gospel, whatever it takes, because that's man's only hope. Only hope of salvation is the gospel and the power of Jesus Christ to forgive sins. But it all begins with hearing the message. And who's going to do that? And then he says at the end of verse 15, as it is written. Now that immediately tells us he is quoting. Now not every time do you see that and it means he's quoting Scripture. Sometimes in Scripture they're quoting from poets of their day or philosophers of their day. But in this case, it is a Scripture. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. And so to really understand what that idea means, let's go to that scripture, Isaiah chapter 52. Turn with me, let's look at that. We'll spend a few minutes there, and then we'll come back to the question that we're posing this evening. Isaiah 52, and we'll begin in verses 1 and 2. Now remember, if you have studied the book of Isaiah, there's a distinct difference in chapters 1 through 39, and then beginning in chapter 40, there's a major turn of thought. The first part of Isaiah is the judgment that is coming. They have been given ample warning, prophet after prophet after prophet, and God is saying judgment is coming. In fact, he tells Hezekiah, the king, in chapter 39, the Babylonians are going to come. They're going to carry away all these treasures, they're going to carry away some of your sons. Bad times are ahead. But that's not the way Isaiah ends. Beginning in chapter 40, where Isaiah says, comfort, yes, comfort my people. And then there are strong notes of comfort to be found. But that's what we're looking at in chapter 52 of Isaiah, where he begins in verses 1 and 2 by saying, awake. Awake, put on your strength, O Zion. Put on your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. Beautiful garments, that immediately suggests that maybe we're not into mourning anymore M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G. Maybe it is not gloomy now, because if we're putting on beautiful garments, the mood is better. In fact, it is joyous. And he goes on. He says, put on your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city, for there shall no more come into you the uncircumcised and the unclean, like would happen when the Babylonians came. They were the uncircumcised, the unclean. They had trampled the city. They had carried away everything and virtually everybody. That won't happen anymore, God says. Shake yourself from the dust and arise. Be seated, O Jerusalem. Loose the bonds from your neck. Especially get that. Loose the bonds from your neck, O captive daughter of Zion. And yeah, times would get hard. But God is telling them in advance, it won't always be that way. The day is coming when those bonds will be broken and you will be set free. Now, verses 3 through 6 continues, and it gives even more assurance that this is going to happen. For thus says the Lord, you were sold for nothing, and you shall be redeemed without money. And when you think about the Babylonians, what did they have to pay to have the people of Judah as their slaves, the ones they let live? Well, nothing. They just, you know, the spoils belong to the victor, they would say. They didn't pay anything. And so God is saying, I'm not going to pay them either. I'm going to redeem my people. For thus says the Lord God, my people went down at the first into Egypt to sojourn there, and the Syrian oppressed them for nothing. Now, therefore, what have I here, declares the Lord, seeing that my people are taken away for nothing? Their rulers wail, declares the Lord, and continually all the day my name is despised. Therefore, my people shall know my name. Therefore, in that day, they shall know that it is I who speak. Here I am. In other words, God would arrive in Babylon. So far away from Jerusalem, he would come and redeem his people, and they would be loosed from their bonds. Their chains would be broken. Now, verse 7, and this is the focal point of Romans chapter 10. How beautiful upon the mountain are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. And then he goes on in verses 8 through 10. The voice of your watchmen, they lift up their voice. Together they sing for joy. For eye to eye they see the return of the Lord to Zion. Now God never was absent from Zion, but he had removed his protection. And now God will be coming back and would again be very zealous for his people. And that's what the watchmen are seeing. Break forth, therefore, together into singing, you waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all the nations. And you think they're rolling up his sleeves. God is going to show his strength, and all the nations will see it, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. That is a message of great hope, of great joy. And if you can put yourself in their place, especially those who were older among the people of Judah, who had actually been in Jerusalem or somewhere in the country of Judah, young people at that time, and yet the Babylonians come and they drag them away, and here they've been in Babylon for 70 years, and now we get to go home. Now the announcement is made, you're free to go home. Would you not say that messenger is a blessing? I mean, this is good news. It wasn't the messenger that made it happen, no. But they're the ones who are announcing it. And even their feet are beautiful because they have traveled to bring you this message. How blessed they are for bringing us this good news. And I think when we take time to look at the context and where it comes from, it makes a whole lot of sense why Paul is using this particular passage. In fact, it's not the only place where this image comes in. Turn to Nahum. And I know it may take a little hunting to find that book. It's only 3 chapters. But Nahum chapter 1 and verse 15 uses very similar language. Now, this takes place before the days of Isaiah. That is, it's looking at a time when the Assyrians were a major threat to Jerusalem, probably in the days of Hezekiah. And everybody thinks, well, the end has come. And yet Nahum says, no, no, Assyria is now going to pay. And part of that message is right here in Nahum chapter 1 and verse 15. Behold, upon the mountains, the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace. Keep your feast, O Judah. Fulfill your vows, for never again shall the worthless pass through you. He is utterly cut off. And so there again, you see the idea of somebody bringing good news, and there's the feet of that person. Now, it doesn't talk about beautiful feet here, but it does say what a joyous thing it is, how we are thankful that person has come and now is announcing that great news. And so the idea of beautiful feet in Romans chapter 10 is absolutely the idea. Somebody has brought us good news of deliverance, of rescue. We thought we were done, but we're not. Salvation has come. How beautiful are the feet of those messengers. And it brings to mind Proverbs 25, verse 25. Proverbs 25, verse 25, just the idea of hearing something really good, and we've all had that experience. Maybe it was news about the outcome of an operation that somebody was having, or you know, somebody that is on their way home from war. You know, we've had good news delivered to us, and we understand this, like cold water to a thirsty soul. Like cold water to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. And you got to remember, these were the days when it took a long time for news to travel. Not like today, where we know what happens in China 3 minutes later. You see, it took a while, and there was a lot of time to be anxious. But like cold water to a thirsty soul, that's how it feels to get that good news. All right, let's take all of this now, and let's talk about the most beautiful feet of all. The most beautiful feet of all. I think you know where I'm going with this. Let's just go to Mark 16, 15 and 16. This is our Lord Jesus. Just before he was taken up into the heavens, he had been raised from the dead. Good news. He had made atonement for sins. They didn't understand that completely at that moment. But listen to what Jesus says, Mark 16, 15 and 16. He said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned. And there again, you see the idea of salvation. It's like what we saw in Isaiah 52, salvation from the Babylonians. In Nahum, it was salvation from the Assyrians. Our salvation is from something even worse than that. I mean, worse than any nation on earth that we might dread, that we might talk about, wow, wouldn't it be awful if they came here and took over? Oh, way worse. It's the bondage to Satan, the bondage in sin. And those who will believe the gospel and who will obey the gospel by being baptized, they will be saved, Jesus said. And there's the commission. Go out and tell it. In fact, when you go to Luke chapter 7, verse 22, this is something Jesus did himself. Luke chapter 7 and verse 22. Now, it wasn't the complete gospel as we know it now because he had not yet died. He had not been raised from the dead. The day of Pentecost had not yet come. But even then, listen to what Jesus says. Now, the disciples of John the Baptist have come to him. They have said, John wants to know, are you the one who is to come, or do we look for somebody else? John must have been having some doubts. Is this really the Messiah? I mean, I thought things would be different by now, and they're not. I'm still in prison. I may very likely be killed. And Jesus, are you the one that we're looking for? And you remember what Jesus sent word back to him through his disciples. He answered them, go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. Lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and all of those things are just amazing. Those are miracles. But he doesn't stop there. The last one, whoever does not believe, or I'm looking at the previous verse, the poor have good news preached to them. The poor have good news preached to them. In the Greek, it's the word euangelizo. It's where we get our word evangelize, telling good news. And that's what Jesus had been doing. He says, tell John what you've seen and heard. And one of the things that you have heard, if you've been around me for any length of time, I preach good news to those who are poor. Now, are we disciples? Are we imitating our Lord? That's the obvious question, because that's what he was occupied with. But let's go on. Let's go to John chapter 4. John 4, verses 39 through 41. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. Here is the Samaritan woman that has met Jesus at the well. He has now impressed her as maybe the Messiah. I mean, that's what he said. You know, I'm the Messiah. When she talked about when the Messiah comes, he'll tell us all things. And he said, I'm him. And at that, she leaves. She goes back into the city among people that she knows, maybe some she doesn't know. And listen to what it says in John 4, beginning in verse 39. Many Samaritans from that town believed in Jesus because of the woman's testimony. He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days, and many more believed because of his word. And what that means is they were on the path of salvation. How did they get there? Because this woman told them. Now, she didn't know everything to tell them. Of course not. She had just met Jesus. But she said, come and see. Come see somebody that is just amazing. And is this the Messiah? And they were provoked enough. They said, oh, we got to go see that. And when they went and they heard Jesus for themselves, they believed. Now, none of them would have believed had she not gone back and told them. And again, you see, it shows the place that we, the followers of Jesus, are to have in bringing others to Christ, in letting them know there is good news, there is wonderful news, and we've got to get out and tell it. Acts chapter 8 and verse 12, another example. This is after the day of Pentecost, and now the gospel is being preached. It's begun in Jerusalem and Judea. Now it is spreading beyond Judea. And listen to what we find in Acts chapter 8 and verse 12. And the scene is Samaria. When they believed Philip as he preached good news. Again, that word euangelizo, evangelize. When he preached good news, they believed. Good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. They were baptized, both men and women. Why were they baptized? Go back to Mark 16, what we read a moment ago. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. They were delivered. They were thankful for the opportunity to be forgiven and delivered from their sins. And here again, you see, somebody is taking the charge to go into all the world, and people believe it when they hear it. A little bit later in the same chapter, look at verse 35. Now we have Philip, the same fella. Now he's talking to a eunuch from Ethiopia. The eunuch is saying, I don't understand this prophecy in Isaiah 53, as we know it today. And so Philip begins talking. And listen to what it says in Acts 8, verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And again, in the Greek, euangelizo, he evangelized. You see, that's the example we get over and over throughout the New Testament as followers of Christ. If Christ did it himself, and he did, as we saw, shouldn't we, his followers, be doing the same thing? Again, going back to Proverbs for a moment, Proverbs 11 and verse 30, there's an image there that we all understand. We saw it originally. It wasn't an image then, but we saw the tree of life in the Garden of Eden. And we understand the significance of that tree of life. If you ate of its fruit, you would never die. And think of how many people have sought for the fountain of youth. You know, as long as you drink from that fountain, you'll never get old. And, well, there's no evidence there was ever such a thing, but there is evidence the tree of life is there. But here, Proverbs 11, verse 30 talks about it. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. What does that mean? If we are living the lives that we should be living, righteousness as God defines it, it will be a tree of life so that others may come and eat of that fruit and they will live forever. We're still talking about deliverance. We're talking about salvation, and we have a part to play. And then he goes on and says, whoever captures souls is wise. Your translation may say, whoever wins souls is wise. But the idea is that we love the Lord so much, we're going to take His word to everybody, and there will be those who will believe that word, they will obey the gospel, they will be saved, and we, the disciples of Jesus, are wise for doing that. There are many ways that we can share the good news of Jesus. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be a Bible class teacher in the formal sense of that word. Let me throw out just four or five different ideas very quickly how you and I can share this good news, how we can evangelize. And I'm talking about every disciple of Christ. In our daily conversations, can we not salt our conversations with something about Jesus, about what we saw, you know, what we heard when we came together to worship on the Lord's Day, the changes we've seen in people's lives because of the presence of Christ in their life? You see, we can use our daily conversations as a way of getting people interested. Some have taken the measure of preparing passages of Scripture on little slips of paper, handwritten or printed out on your printer, whatever, and then include these in the bills that you pay on a regular basis. And whoever's opening the bills and recording that, they get a little taste of Scripture by that simple act. And you never know what kind of influence that could be. Social media. I know I'm talking to a lot of people that use that. Can we not use that for the Lord? Can we not show people that there are wonderful places that they can visit on the internet or elsewhere where they can be taught the Word of God and even to link it right there so they don't even have to hunt for it? And talking about that kind of thing, how about World Bible School? It is so simple to use now online. Anybody can do it. And I really would like to, you know, Chig has been doing this for a long time, and others of us have been doing it off and on, and we'd love to talk to you about how you can get involved in teaching others the gospel of Christ by your computer. What a great way to use our computers. And then there's this way, the idea of serving others, like SOS coming up this Saturday, handing somebody a bag of cleaning supplies, or, you know, whatever it is that we're giving them in the name of Christ. And it's not about making them think, oh, those are great people. No, we do it in the name of the Lord. He's the one that gives us the ability to do what we're doing. And that is a way of evangelizing as well. It's not the ultimate evangelism, but it's a starting point for many people. The point is this. If we really think something is good news, do we have to be prodded into telling it? No. If we hear something that's really exciting, that excites us, we're going to share it. You don't have to ask me. I'm going to tell you without your even asking me. Do we see the gospel as really good news? Is that where we need to start? Last passage I'll ask you to turn to is 2 Kings chapter 7. 2 Kings chapter 7, verses 8 and 9. Here you've got four lepers. They are living outside the walls of Jerusalem because their illness mandates that. They can't live among people with this kind of illness. And yet now the Syrian army is besieging the city of Jerusalem, and it's been going on a while, and people inside the city are starving to death. All food supplies have been cut off. And these lepers, even though they're on the outside of the wall, they're not doing any better. They too are starving. And so they debate among themselves, what do we do? Do we just sit here and starve to death? Do we go in the city and starve with them? Or do we just kind of surrender to the enemy and hope they'll give us some food? And that's the course they chose. Well, they went out to the camp of the Syrians and they found something that amazed them. Everybody was gone. And it was obvious they had left in such a rush because everything was still there. The tents and the spoils of other wars that had gone on and the food. It was all there. And so these four men are going from one tent to another. Well, let's begin, just read it now. 2 Kings chapter 7, beginning in verse 8. When these lepers came to the edge of the camp, they went into a tent and ate and drank. And they carried off silver and gold and clothing and went and hid them. Then they came back and entered another tent, carried off things from it, and went and hid them. Then they said to one another, "We are not doing right. We are not doing right. This day is a day of good news." Do you see that? This day is a day of good news. If we are silent and wait until the morning light, punishment will overtake us. Now therefore come, let us go and tell the king's household. They knew people were starving back in Jerusalem. They could see before their eyes, here's all the food that it would take to feed everybody in the city. And we're hoarding it for ourselves. Let's look at ourselves. Are we hoarding the gospel? We all enjoy the benefits of the gospel, I hope. But are we hoarding it and not telling other people about it? And you see, that's wrong. If we know where the answer is to the problems of mankind, and we know there are plenty of people around us that have those problems, we need to tell them. And I think in the case of these lepers, the people that heard the news would then look at the lepers, as disfigured as they may have been. Leprosy could be a pretty repulsive thing. But they would say, "Your feet are beautiful because you brought us news that will save our lives. We're so glad you shared that with us." And that's what we need to be doing. And others may say, "Thank you for telling me this. I needed Christ." Let's not be silent. Let's have beautiful feet. If you're not a Christian, you've heard the news. You've heard Jesus talk about how to be saved. Tonight, you could make that choice to believe and be baptized, and you would be saved, just like he said. And if you've done that, have you been faithful? Or do we need to repent? Do we need to say, "Lord, I realize I've not been doing your will on this or that. I've been doing things I shouldn't be doing"? Then if that's the case, let's repent and come home asking for forgiveness. God will forgive if you'll come as we stand and sing.